Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Press X. I am with Rob.
Hello.
And I'm Andy. And today we're talking about incomplete games.
Yeah, you remember a few shows ago we were talking about games that we were proud of finishing and games that we hadn't finished?
Yes.
Right. Well, we're not talking about games that are unfinished, as in we haven't finished them. What we're talking about are games that have been released incomplete.
Mm.
You know, they're not finished. They're clearly not the final product, but they've been released anyway. See, it struck me. Video games are the only medium where you pay for something that is unfinished. I mean, it's ridiculous. You wouldn't pay for a car that wasn't finished. You wouldn't pay for a book that wasn't finished. You wouldn't go to see a movie that wasn't finished. You know, if you're sitting in the cinema and halfway through the movie or three quarters of the way through the movie, it tells you have to pay an extra amount so you can finish the film.
Mm. Right? Actually, though, when you're saying books as well, books do it sometimes.
How? Where? When?
Biographies.
Yeah, biographies.
Have you ever got to the end and then a year later they've released the same book, but it's an extended edition that covers the next 2 years or something silly like that?
Yeah, but the thing is, biographies are written by celebrities who failed. That's basically how I view them. There are very few biographies that I would actually be interested in reading. The majority of them, if I want to know about their life, I'll just watch some talk show with them on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And biographies, you know, if that person's still alive, yeah, naturally, they're going to add to the biography anyway. So I wouldn't put too much stock into biographies. I'm talking about fiction, you know?
Yes.
I'm not talking about anything other than fiction. And fiction, you know, let's see. Agatha Christie didn't suddenly add extra characters into Murder on the Orient Express just to keep you guessing who the murderer is. you know, Sherlock Holmes didn't have, like, Moriarty's evil, much eviler twin brother, you know, who was just like, you know, Mycroft Holmes, only more so, only worse.
Hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And in the middle of, say, Avengers Infinity War, Marvel and Disney didn't suddenly start chucking in extra characters who didn't even have a movie, but you could pay to have, like, I don't know, just pick some random Marvel characters, Spider-Ham or Spider-Gwen or, you know, a US agent or somebody from the 90s Marvel comics in this Avengers Infinity War movie. You could pay a fiver and suddenly they'd appear and be part of the movie. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It doesn't happen in any other medium. And yet video games, for some reason, we give a free pass to.
Mm. It hasn't always been that way, either.
No, it hasn't. I mean,
it's always been an aspect of it. For example, it's a finished game, but for example, The Sims.
Yeah,
I think they started this in a sense because the expansion packs.
Well, see, I regard I think expansion packs are something different. Okay, expansion packs add quite a lot of content. Mm. Right, you basically pay for a massive amount of extra content all at once.
Yeah.
And expansion packs were like, you know, the old adventure games? Because we used to get, back when I was a kid, and back when you were a kid, Andy, right? We used to have games that were finished being released, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, even on, like, the PlayStation 2, we had, you couldn't really get away with releasing a game that wasn't a complete product, could you?
Mm. Do you think the internet has played quite a big part in this?
Yes.
Because, obviously, I remember games used to ship with glitches, Gran Turismo 3 being a good one.
Yeah.
And they could not patch it.
Yeah.
So it was this known glitch that, but it helped sell the game. So, but yeah, it's different now. It's spoilt it in a way. Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's not.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. If I'm going to fork out my hard-earned cash, especially in times of austerity, right, then I want to be buying something that's a quality product, and I want to be buying the complete product, right? I don't want to pay for something that is broken, effectively. I mean, that's basically what I'm saying. So let me ask you this, Andy, right? If you work for a living, you get your wage, everything like that, yeah? If I said to you, okay, Andy, you've got two options here. You can buy this product here. It's broken, but you can use it immediately. Or you can wait for 6 months for the complete product.
Yeah.
What would you do?
You'd wait.
Exactly. So, again, we come back to my original question. Why the hell do we give video game developers and publishers a free pass to release these games that are completely unfinished? Why do we do that? Why aren't we holding developers and publishers accountable and saying, no, we're not going to buy your crappy product. We're not going to buy it until you release the finished product. We want it as a complete version. It's our money going into your pockets. Why aren't gamers... I mean, gamers get angry over the stupidest things. They get angry over the fact that a woman has made a video game, crying out loud. Or a female games journalist has made a comment about a game that, you know, some male video gamers who feel that they're the guardians at the gates of gaming, they get offended by it. So what? Instead of getting offended by something that is actually real and actually has a point, they get angry about the stupidest things, you know?
Oh, yes. It's quite fun, though, to see some of those. But
it is quite fun to see some of those. But, I mean, if you want to hurt somebody, if you want to get to somebody, you hit them where they live, which is the wallet, right? If you want to make your point to video game developers and publishers, then you hit them in the wallet. You say, I'm not buying your crappy product. We're actually going to go on strike. We're not buying your product until you release a good product.
Yeah.
Simple.
You know what? Going back to when we were talking about games being released on the PS2 being finished.
Yeah.
There was one that sticks out in my mind that was unfinished in America, but Europe and Japan got a full game.
Which one was that one?
Final Fantasy X.
Final Fantasy X?
That was the American version. From what I think it was the American version. Didn't have all the Dark Aeons and everything after. It just stopped.
Really?
That's why when the Japanese, I forgot what it was called, the Japanese edition, but that's what the HD remaster was, and it was the first time that went over it, like, they could play it in America. So it didn't have the Dark Aeons, it didn't have Penance, probably had the Monster Arena, but yeah, that's probably the only example I can think of.
See, I can't remember any games, I didn't even know about the Final Fantasy X thing, but I can't remember any games on the PS2 or from the consoles and the systems before the PS2 that were released incomplete.
They might have been released very shoddily, like very looked incomplete or very terrible games. For example, E.T. or something like that. But yeah, I know what you mean. There's never one where you go, this is the final game, but we're also going to release this complete, we're going to release all this new content in a year's time and not tell you. You didn't get that then.
Actually, I tell a lie. I can think of a couple. Not on the PlayStation, though. One of them was on the PC, one of them was on the Xbox. If I remember rightly, wasn't Knights of the Old Republic 2 released? It wasn't quite finished. It was close to being finished, but they pushed it forward and released it early. I think it was Knights of the Old Republic 2.
I can't really remember the original release playing it.
Yeah, I mean... It was just glitching in odd places, if I remember rightly, which is why it came out that it'd been released a little bit too early. If they'd waited like a month or so, then it would have been basically sorted. But I think Stalker as well, which I actually quite like that game, you know, glitches and all. I totally forgot Stalker does have, it was released a bit too early as well, but that was on the PC. So, I tell a lie, there were some unfinished games around that time period. But the thing that bugs me right now is the fact that we pay for the extra bits. We pay for the game, but then we pay extra, you know, even if it's only £1 here, a couple of quid there, a fiver here, a tenner there, yeah? We pay for this mysterious thing called downloadable content.
Yes. It's not just the downloadable content. I mean, I don't have a problem with, like, big downloadable content that you can just buy. What I have a problem with is what they call a season pass. And this has been going for, must be 10 years now.
No, season passes haven't been going for 10 years, have they?
Must be. No, I'm just trying to think.
I think season passes were kind of late PS3. We're talking about the latter years of the PS3, like the last 2 years of the PlayStation 3. Maybe they have been going for a full decade. I don't know, but I know that season passes are something that I personally have. I personally don't really like.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the concept of them, but it just you're basically paying for the game, and then you're paying for the opportunity to download all the bits of the game that will make the game complete.
Yeah.
So why not just release the completed version of the game in the first place and charge a little bit extra for it?
Because people buy it. And if everybody just didn't buy any season pass,
yeah,
it would stop. It's like FIFA is an excellent example. Not just like for a season pass, but for example, Ultimate Team and the ridiculous additions that go over £100 that are just digital and they're just additional content type of thing.
That's the other thing that I don't understand. It's digital. You can't hold it in your hands. You know, it's not real. It doesn't exist. You're paying for something that doesn't exist.
I wish I'd have thought of it, though, to be honest.
The thing is, I don't understand. Maybe it's something to do with this whole bragging rights culture that we have these days. You know, everybody wants to lord it over everybody else. But then again, that's been around for centuries, that sort of attitude, that sort of culture has been around for centuries. So, but you used to be able to say, oh, you know, my horse and cart is much nicer than your horse and cart. Look, yeah. I have iron rims on my horse and cart. What have you got? You're still using wood, aren't you? You know?
Unless you played the Oblivion in 2006 with horse armor.
Yeah.
It's $7.99.
Yeah, but the thing is, he might have had horse armor, but he didn't have cart armor, did he?
That's true.
See, I had an armored cart.
Hey.
But yeah, that's my point. DLC, I understand that sometimes, you know, it's nice to have, like, it's nice to have options in games. Maybe you want your character to look a certain way. Maybe you want extra characters, stuff like that. But why not just put those as kind of hidden content within the game? Don't lock them behind paywalls, or don't make them DLC. Make them actual achievements as part of the game. Instead of giving people trophies, make them actual achievements, or, you know, unlockable aspects of the game.
Yeah.
Charge a little bit extra for the game and say, these are all unlockable items in the game. You basically have to achieve certain goals in the game to get them.
Like the original Metal Gear Solid. You have to play it twice with the two different endings to unlock Tuxedo Snake and Red Ninja.
Yeah. But that's my point. That's what games used to do. And we've moved away from this whole idea of having everything in one to having everything spread out and try and maximize the amount of money that they can milk from gamers. And I have to remind people, these are difficult times. People don't have the money. You know? That's one of the reasons why I liked what CD Projekt Red did with The Witcher, with The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
When they announced that all the DLC was going to be free. I mean, The Witcher 3 was as close to... I like what they did with The Witcher 3. The game is great, you know? But they basically, they purposefully held the game back, saying, we're not happy with it. We're not going to release an incomplete product. So the DLC was basically an addition to the game, and the game was already complete on release.
Yeah, because it was the DLC that was free, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the expansions.
They used that word,
expansion
pack.
They actually said it's an expansion pack, which, as I said, is a different thing entirely. It's a lot of content. It's a totally new story, totally new adventure in a lot of cases, especially when it comes to adventures and RPGs. It's not like, oh, yeah, you know, your horse can have armor now. We're still stuck on the horse armor, aren't we?
Yeah, but it was bad.
Yeah, I know.
So it's,
I know.
That was probably some of the first DLC as well. It must have been. That was about 2007, maybe.
Do you see where I'm going with this, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
Am I just complaining for the sake of complaining, or is this...
Oh, you're not complaining. You're definitely not complaining. There's quite a few, though, where they have pointless DLC and charge about £15 for it.
Like?
I mean, Metal Gear Solid 5 is a good one.
Oh.
I know that wasn't complete either. I know that's a great example of an incomplete game.
Yeah.
But they had DLC, for example, snake costumes, gun, like, what do they call it? Skins for the guns, and they're about £4 each or something like that. And like, no, no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Elder Scrolls, the thing is, Metal Gear has, sorry, I'm still stuck on the horse armor.
That probably has offer armor. Yeah. Horse armor.
Yeah, the thing is, the Metal Gear games are just Fruit Loops anyway. And I expect Konami and before them Hideo Kojima to try and milk gamers for every single penny. I mean, Kojima's new game, I reckon that's going to have a crap ton of DLC that you have to pay through the nose for.
Well, you're going to have to pay to know what the plot is.
Yeah.
Because I still don't have a clue, and it's been 2 years.
But it's deep, man. It's so deep. You don't understand. No, that's right. I don't understand. No, but you really don't understand. No, I'm telling you, I don't understand. This is an actual conversation I had with somebody, by the way. When I was trying, we were talking about the trailer that had come out at E3, or the gameplay footage that had come out at E3 for Kojima's new game, Death Stranding. And this guy is such a big Kojima fan. And he was telling me that I didn't understand. And I was saying, yes, you're right. I don't understand. Please explain it to me. What the hell is the game about? He went, well, it's about this character who's played by Norman Reedus, right? And he's a delivery man at the end of the world. I went, yeah, I understood that part. But what is the game about? He's basically telling me.
Who's the villain?
he's basically telling me about what he saw in the gameplay footage, but not telling me anything else other than what he saw in the gameplay footage. it remains to be seen what happens in Death Stranding, but I have no doubt that there will be a lot of DLC. One of the biggest, some of the biggest, some of the biggest enablers, I suppose, maybe enable is not the right word, but I can't think of the word that I'm thinking of or that I was trying to think of. So you're going to have to make do with enablers. Some of the biggest enablers of this whole DLC incomplete video game culture. EA, right?
Oh.
EA are some of the one of them. BioWare, Bethesda, right?
I'd say BioWare over Bethesda.
I'd say both are together because don't forget Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, but in a way, they are for DLC, yes. But I think for the way when you're talking about the DLC to finish a game, no, because I think Bethesda as a game, they do release the full main game.
Yeah.
I mean, Fallout 3, that was the finished game. They just released the end after because people.
Then it wasn't a finished game.
Yeah, but they just really complained.
If they released the game without an ending, it wasn't a finished game. That's kind of the point of the ending, isn't it?
Mass Effect 3, again, people complained, so they released the director's cut, which was still good, even though it was just a different colour ending.
See,
still.
I'll be honest, you know the original ending of Mass Effect 3?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know why so many people complained about it. I honestly don't. I thought, why are you all behaving like children, right? Mm. You've had this great game. You've had this great trilogy of games where you've had all sorts of choices and your choices affected everything. But sometimes in life, sometimes you only have limited choices and none of them are good, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a test of your character. And you know what? Every single person who basically complained about that ending failed that test of character.
Mm. But these companies are absolutely brilliant in comparison to one developer. Well, one game that stands out in my mind. Do you know which game I'm thinking about?
No, because you're thinking about it and I'm not a mind reader.
No Man's Sky.
Oh, yes. Oh,
they basically released nothing, didn't it? Fix now. I've played the new version and you know what? It's really enjoyable.
Yeah, but you had to wait.
The majority of it wasn't when they released it the first time.
You had to wait how long for it to become enjoyable?
Well, I think it was 2 years, actually. Just under 2 years. End of 2016 it came out. But yeah.
And it's crazy because you have so many you have so many games that require DLC to be complete. All those fighting games, you know, the 2D fighters where you can download all the extra characters to make the roster complete. And you're like,
what was the last one that did that? Street Fighter 5? Yeah, they released it without the story mode. You had to wait about four months or something for it to come out?
Yeah.
Like, release the game without a story mode. Why?
And not only that, I mean, weren't half the characters locked behind paywalls?
All the main characters. Majority of the main characters.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. Why?
that's just like going, do you want to play as Blanka?
Yes. I'd like to play as Blanka, you know, someday.
But instead you get this new character that we think you'll love. No. Or I'd just buy just a generic fighting game. I buy Street Fighter because I want to play as the characters in Street Fighter.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, this controversy about unfinished games and paying for an unfinished product, it's been going on for a while, you know? And video games now are a multi-billion dollar industry. And I honestly think it's about time that this issue did get addressed. I think that it would be great if a big conference, a big event like GDC, the Game Developers Conference, right? If they actually had a panel on why developers and publishers keep insisting on releasing unfinished games, why not just take a step back and say, okay, the game's not finished yet, this is our time scale, we apologize, you know, hold your hands up, accept responsibility, you're all bloody adults.
Oh, definitely. It's a weird thing. People buy it, so people are going to make it, and it's just
It's a bizarre thing, but now we've got this thing where you take all of the DLC and whatever else that people have paid for over the course of the 6 months to a year, and then you package it all together with the original game, and you have the Game of the Year edition.
Yes. Do you remember this, Rob?
Yeah.
You know the Game of the Year edition?
Yeah.
It used to be
the game that you bought.
Yeah, but it used to be the when they started doing it, for example, look back at the early noughties, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And the Game of the Year was called the Game of the Year because it won. Doesn't matter which Game of the Year it was, because there's hundreds, but it won a Game of the Year award.
Yeah.
That's why it was called the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, exactly. It was. It basically had won an award, which is why it could say it was the Game of the Year. I mean, you know, this goes back to the whole award-winning thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes back to the whole thing. You know, Morrissey is an award-winning writer, even though the award he won was the Bad Sex and Literature Award. He's still classed as an award-winning writer. It's all about marketing. So I don't understand how games that have not won any Game of the Year awards can publish, can release a version that is called the Game of the Year edition. That does not make sense to me.
It's not the Game of the Year. Well, there are a lot of companies and stuff that do different Game of the Years.
Yeah, but I mean, the way that advertising and marketing work, all it needs is one group or organization or person to say, this is my Game of the Year. And then they're legally allowed to put it on the box saying Game of the Year. Because one person has gone public and said, this is my Game of the Year. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. You get the final editions that don't have Game of the Year on recently. I forgot what they call them now, but it's always something like, I don't know.
Collector's edition, special edition, definitive edition.
Yeah.
This is the game that you should have been releasing in the first place. Why not just say, why not be honest with people? You know, I would actually pay good money for this. If the game cost 100 quid, I would buy it just with a novelty value. And I'm putting this in right now. If a developer or a publisher had the actual courage, right, had the guts, the balls even, you know, the huevos, the testicles,
Is that a Greek hero that we never heard of? The Adventures of Test Point.
Maybe.
Next RPG, I guess. That's my name, my character.
Testicles. Do you know why I suddenly thought of it? Because I remember watching an interview with John Cleese. there was a couple of the Pythons with him. I think Michael Palin just looked at him and said, "Why are you so Testicles?" And it struck me, that's a great name, Testicles. I would buy the game if they actually released it, and instead of calling it the Definitive Edition or the Game of the Year Edition, they basically said, say, whatever the title of the game is, the version we should have released in the first place. You know, say that, actually have the balls to do that, actually have the balls to hold your hands up and say, hey, we released an incomplete product, but hey, you gave us loads of money for it.
So let's sell it again for the full price.
Yeah, so let's sell it again for the full price. And when did that start happening? Seriously, you buy the game, then you buy the game again. No other medium does that. I mean, if you bought a book and read it, you wouldn't go out and buy the book again just because it had a couple of extra chapters added to it, would you?
I just want to buy the extra chapters.
Yeah, and staple them in.
I just got like a really like classic book, and it's got tons of newly stapled pieces of paper in the back of it.
Oh, don't, because I was editing. Sorry, I basically had listened back to the latest episode of Literary Loitering that's just gone out, I suddenly found out from Andrew and Graham that there is a sequel to Little Women. Called Little Women 2. And I was, why does that book have a sequel? And I don't think it's an official sequel.
Why does it have a number? I don't know any books that have a numbered sequel. It's usually the title and then...
Yeah, something else.
Subtitle.
Yeah, because numbering, you know, saying I don't know, Game of Thrones 2.
Lord of the Rings 2.
Yeah.
It had a 2 in it, but it wasn't Lord of the Rings 2,
The Two Towers. You know, or Lord of the Rings 3, Return of Three King.
And the Three Kings.
Yeah, when did that start happening, though? When did we become okay with paying twice for a game? Paying full price twice for a game?
I'd have thought around the Elder Scrolls time, because they still do. Have a really bad habit of re-releasing and re-releasing and re-releasing. And I'm not just talking about Skyrim. It's Morrowind, was it Daggerfall, the second one. The Definitive Edition, the Extended Edition, the Game of the Year Edition.
Do you know what I think has kind of normalized this whole thing? You know that early access stuff on Steam?
Yes.
I think that's kind of normalized this whole idea that we're okay, that it's okay to pay for something that is incomplete because you can talk about it before anybody else can.
Yeah. I'm going to say, when you buy something early access, though, it's got early access on it.
Yeah, for you example, understand.
They don't release Skyrim and go, Skyrim, the early edition.
Yeah, you understand that you're not buying a complete product when it's on early access. That I can understand, but I think that what's happened is that's bled over into mainstream games, and what you have now is a system where AAA publishers feel that they can just release games that aren't complete, that aren't up to standard, and gamers will pay for it because, hell, gamers have lots of money and no common sense, which I suppose in a very technical sense I would agree with.
I mean, I've bought games over and over. That's more because I just like the game. For example, Broken Sword. Yeah. I think I bought every single one of those about 4 times.
Yeah, but I mean, I've owned a Dreamcast like 3 or 4 times, and every single time I've bought Shenmue, right? Every single time I've owned a Dreamcast. The first games I bought, Shenmue 1 and 2, right?
Mm.
All I'm saying is that, yes, okay, those games were, you know, back then, the games that you bought were complete. They were in their final form. But now you have to pay, it seems like you have to pay about 2.5 or 2.75 of what you would pay for a game normally to have the complete final version of a game. And that, to me, just seems morally and ethically wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I'd rather definitely just have the full game at the start.
Yeah. I mean, if more publishers approached it in the way CD Projekt Red did with The Witcher 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they made a clear distinction between DLC and expansions and said DLC is going to be free, and the DLC you got for The Witcher was all additional stuff. It was stuff that was that was unimportant to you completing the game. You didn't need to download it if you didn't want to. Mm. You see what I mean?
I think the only thing that they fixed as well, but this one was also free, was the menu.
Yeah, but this is the thing. This is the thing. DLC, if you're going to use downloadable content, then it should be something that doesn't affect the balance of the game. It doesn't affect the game, you know, how you play the game, the challenge level of the game, you know, how difficult the game is to play. It doesn't affect the controls. It might do some cosmetic tweaks here and there, but that's the limit of it.
Mm.
The main game is still fundamentally the same. Maybe you download an extra character that you can play as, but that's just a skin swap and, you know, a move swap, you know? That's it. Mm. It's just mapping. That's all it is. It's nothing else aside from that, right?
Mm.
But fundamentally, it doesn't affect the game itself, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
If that's the limit of it, then, you know, then that's okay, because the main storyline in the game is related to the main character of the game, and that's not affected in the slightest, right? If what you're downloading, though, is extra dungeons, extra maps, that sort of thing, that's the stuff that should go into an expansion. So instead of splitting it up and calling it downloadable content and charging like a couple of quid here and there or a fiver here and there, put it all together. Make a coherent, logical story out of it that is an additional tale you can tell on top of your original game. Put them all together, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Put it all together, release it as an expansion. Say, this is a story set over here in this country that you basically visit once or twice during your game. But now you can play this extra thing here, and it's a big adventure, 10, 15, 20 hours long.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That is what I... See, this is the thing that I think... This is one of the reasons I say gaming is still a very immature medium, is because gamers, by their nature, still haven't developed the wherewithal to demand quality. They're still in that... They're still in that stage where they'll complain a lot but do very little about it. Mm. The teenage stage, I suppose that's called. Whereas you have older gamers like me, gamers like yourself, Andy, who may not be in my age group, but you work for a living, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, do you think the younger gamers, because you think gamers that are about 10 or 11 year old won't remember a finished game coming out?
Yeah, I know they won't remember a finished game. For them, it's probably a remarkable thing that the game's been released finished.
Probably don't. They probably just look back in shock and go, what? Games were released finished once?
Yeah. Yes, they were.
You didn't have to download anything. You just put the disc in.
Yeah, and you could just play it straight off the bat.
That reminds me of a good thing, actually.
Oh?
Right, I'm really looking for... You know how much I'm looking forward to Spyro next month.
Yeah.
But on the disc, there's only... First game, you have to download for free. Well, when you put the disc in, the remaining two episodes, well, the remaining two games. So,
hang on.
You have no internet connection. You're stuck with the first game.
Let me ask you a question. This is the remake of Spyro, yeah?
Yeah.
And are the games that you're downloading remakes of the second and third game?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's all right then. I can understand. Okay. Because it's a full remake, yeah?
Mm.
If it was the original game and then the second and third game, I would have said they could all fit on one disc.
Yeah.
And still have room to spare for a lot of what came after Spyro.
Mm. But how can you label a game trilogy and release it with one episode on the disc?
Because you can download the other two. See, I would, if I label a game trilogy, I expect the trilogy to be a physical copy, right?
Yeah. It's like buying a box set and finding out you only get the first disc. You have to put that in. You have to download the remaining 20-odd episodes.
Don't, because that will probably happen. Video games are a mystery to me still. You know, they used to be simple, but now I really don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why people settle for all this nonsense. You know, it's like the, you know, the pay to win stuff. People people forking out real hard cash just to win a game instead of actually getting good at the game. When did we become lazy as a species? Seriously, when did we decide to settle? Anyway, on that note, we've got things off our chest collectively, Andy, yeah. I feel, you know. I think it's been therapeutic.
Oh, yeah. It's We'd nice. Like to know what anybody listening thinks of this new, well, we say new, but would say the present state of video games.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you honestly think that it's worth the money paying for a game that isn't finished and then having to buy DLC and then whatever else just to have a fully complete and finished game, or having to pay to release the characters that you need to finish a game? Things like that. Do you think that that is something that is ethically and morally sound? Because it doesn't seem like that to me. And if you agree with us, if you also think that it's not ethically and morally sound, you know, do you think gamers should stand up to the developers and publishers and say, we're not buying your product until you release a finished product? Get with the program. You know, we demand quality. We're tired of your excuses. Finish the game that you promised us. Release it. Otherwise, don't expect our business.
We have to make it clear, though, we're not talking about episodic games, because they're...
No. Episodic games are a separate thing.
You buy them knowing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. It's a shame what happened to Telltale, but, you know...
They're still finishing that Walking Dead, though. It was announced this morning.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, episodic games, they get a pass because they're episodic games. But, I mean, let's put it this way. If you walked into a fast food joint and you basically bought a burger... And then you took it to your table and you sat down and you took a bite out of it. And you had the bun, you had the lettuce, you had the tomato, you had the mayonnaise, you had the onion. But there was no burger inside. There was no cheese inside. And so you take it back to the counter and say, my burger's incomplete. There's no actual burger. There's no cheese. And they say, oh, you have to pay extra for that.
Oh, we're working on the burger, but you can't get that today.
Yeah. Oh, we're working on the burger. You can't get that today. Would you go back to eat there?
What, to get the burger or ever?
No, would you go back there ever again?
No.
My point exactly. So why do we do it with video games? Why do we keep going back to these developers and saying, hey, you know, you got me once, but I'm willing to give you another chance, and then they get them again. Oh, you got me twice, you know. There is that saying, fool me once, more fool you. Fool me twice, more fool me. Anyway, we're going to end the show there. Let us know what you think about this subject. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree with us? Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. All of our shows are available on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk, along with all of the other stuff we do on the Geek Show Podcast Network. You'll also find our Patreon and our shop there. So do check those out. Until the next time, when hopefully Mark or Rob will be with us. I've been Rob.
And I've been Andy.
And we'll see you all later.